Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone, and or Mothering Sunday, whichever one you prefer. We're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning. I'd love us to look at the Bible, as we always like to do in Grace Church, and see what God would say to us. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, you can get that one ready. We're going to be looking at a few different passages. Most of them I will put up on the screen, but predominantly we're going to look at Exodus 20:12 as a kind of starting point. And if you'd like a Bible and you want to see a paper version, then there's a few being handed out there. Just pop your hand up and you can have a copy to follow with me. So as Grace Church, we often do series. We work through books of the Bible, or we work through a particular theme. And so we've just come to the end of one series called Foundations. And we looked at the foundations of Christianity, what it is to be a Christian. And we finished over the last couple of weeks looking at the church. What is the church? What's it all about? And then we looked about, what is Grace Church? What does it mean to be part of this particular church family? And I think family is a really big theme, and especially today on Mothering Sunday, and obviously having the baby Thanksgiving this morning. It's just great to be able to do that. We've got five children, and it's like we have one every year at the moment, and we bring a child in, and so hopefully that's the last one, at least for a while. And don't tell my wife I said that. But it's really good, isn't it, to do things together as a church family. It's a real blessing to have you guys involved in this morning, where we bring our child along and we give thanks to God. And I really want to encourage you. We need the church family to help us. You know, it's tough bringing up five kids, and so we're really blessed. And loads of you guys actually do get alongside us. You bless us, so thank you for that. And we're going to look a little bit more about church as family this morning. Also, other things that we do as a church. We talked about Adam and Frances' wedding. We're looking forward to that next week. And again, it's great to be part of that. We do that together. We celebrate together in those things. And then another thing we celebrate is new Christians, don't we? We have baptism. So on Good Friday, we're looking to baptize some people that have recently put their faith in Jesus. They've become Christians. And so we celebrate again as a family. And so, as I said, this morning is Mother's Day, as you know, and so we're going to celebrate that together. We're going to celebrate the role of mother, and we're also going to look at how there is a context within the church that we can celebrate as well for Valentine's Day. But the reason I've written Valentine's Day is because you might be a little bit like me, and sometimes I get a bit cynical, and so the stuff that goes on in society, you sometimes think these things get so commercialized, don't they? And so Mother's Day is coming, you just see really expensive flowers everywhere, and the card prices go up, and the chocolate prices go up, and because there is a sort of commercial element to it. And the same with Valentine's Day. I don't know if you've ever bought flowers for someone on Valentine's Day, but it is so expensive. I mean, it's always better to get them a day late, isn't it? You get them for a much better price. What I do is I buy my wife lots of flowers throughout the year, and when it gets to Valentine's Day, she just doesn't mind that we save the money. And buy the chocolates ahead of time. That's the way to do it. But anyway, I think Mother's Day is a good day to celebrate, and especially so in God's church, where we value family so highly. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're a single person here today that we don't value you, but rather we include you in God's family. And so that's what it means to be part of the church. That's what it means to have spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers and spiritual brothers and sisters. We have a great family that everyone can be included in. There's nobody that needs to be left outside of that. And so I don't want you to be put off and think, well, I don't have a family. Well, actually, if you're a Christian and you come to Grace Church and you're part of this family, that is fantastic. Maybe you're a Christian and you're not part of this church, but also we include you in God's great family. And maybe you're looking in and thinking, you know, is this for me? And I would say, come on, we want to include you. Whoever you are, come as you are and become a part of this wonderful family of God that he has designed for us to be part of. And so the family itself is God's idea. Therefore, it's a very good one that should be held in high regard and rightly honored. And so that's what I want to do this morning, is look at why we should honor it. And so I'm going to talk about three different things, really. So the first one is, why do we celebrate Mother's Day in society? So where did that come from? What are the sort of origins of it? And I think they're quite interesting and good. And then secondly, why should we celebrate it in the church? Why is the church? You know, is this just a secular thing that goes on? Or actually, is there a good reason for us to celebrate it today as God's church? And then lastly, we're just going to look at Jesus. And we're going to look at how he makes this day a celebration for all of us by what he did on the cross. So number one, why do we celebrate Mother's Day in society? So I'm aware that this day can actually be, although it's a day of celebration for many of us, actually, it can be quite a sad day for some people. And it can bring about feelings of grief or sadness, perhaps for those of us that have maybe lost a mother, maybe you've never known your mother, or maybe you've just had a bad relationship there. Or perhaps for some people, you've never had the opportunity to become a mother. Again, Mother's Day can seem like quite a tough day because it can remind you of things that actually don't bring about feelings of joy. But actually, I believe if that's you this morning, there is still plenty of reason to find some joy in honouring mothers in general today and the family within the framework of God's church. And so I hope to bring that out and encourage you this morning by what you hear, and ultimately to fall more in love with the wonderful gift of God's church family that Jesus has given us. And so let's look at, why do we celebrate this day in our society? Like I said, is it just a commercial opportunity? And when you go to the shops and things, you might think that's the case. But actually, I think it's so much more than that. I thought I'd do a bit of research on this. So I looked up just some of the roots about how we came to make a thing of this day historically. And what I found was really interesting. And I found it really encouraging, actually. So you can trace back the roots of Mother's Day to Christians throughout the ages. There was certainly a sense of celebrating family, of celebrating and honoring parents. And the Bible encourages and teaches us to do that, to honor parents. And we'll look at this in more detail in a bit. But more recently, in this country, I discovered there was a lady called Constance Smith in the early 1900s. And she actually encouraged and went about encouraging Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day after the First World War to help people cope with the grief of losing loved ones and reminding people of the importance of honouring family, both at home and family found within the church. So as I looked at this, I discovered this really interesting letter from the early 1900s. Get my clicker on there. Now, I don't know if you can read this, but I'll leave it up on the screen. I've got the words here, so I'll read it. But I just found this really, really encouraging. And so it says this. And so this was like a letter that was posted out sort of all around society by this lady, Constance Smith, to encourage people, especially in the church, to make something more of Mothering Sunday. So it says this. Efforts are being made to restore Mothering Sunday to the position once occupied in the religious and social life of the nation, and to revive the beautiful old custom of mothering, or mid-lenting. That's a nice term, isn't it? And so, you know, some of you may know, if you've got Anglican or Catholic backgrounds, that we're in the middle of a traditional season, shall we say, called Lent. And it's just a period of 40 days that some people would celebrate and honour. And so what is mothering or mid-lenting? Well, it was a tradition from the medieval period, where it was sort of this time of year was quite a tough season, because the harvest season was months ago, and so food supplies and things like that would have been running out, and so food was scarce. And so what would happen is that families, the younger members of families who would be out working, would actually go and see older relatives, and they would go and visit them at that time, and especially mothers and fathers, and take them food. And I don't know if you find this interesting, but this is where we got the simnel cake from, apparently. According to Google, it must be true. But what happened was they would bake these cakes and things and take them to their parents who were running short of food because we're getting towards the next harvest season. And so there was something in this that it was the church that was motivating it, because they were honouring their parents and they were looking after older relatives. And so Mothering Sunday, in essence, came out of this sort of time of year, and because it was an opportunity to go and make sure that our families were being well looked after. So anyway, the letter continues. It says this: your cooperation is earnestly invited. And it says the observance of Mothering Sunday should include. And so she gives some instruction to the people of how should we do this Mothering Sunday? What can we do? And so the first thing says, thanksgiving in the house of God for his divine institution. That is the family. That God, it was God's design that we should live in families. That it's a good thing to have a family, to have mothers and fathers and children. And that was the way that he had designed civilization and creation to flourish. And so it says that, to give thanks to God for that. And intercession for unity in Christendom. And so really that is just, it's praying, isn't it, that we would have unity within God's family, within the church as well. In other words, we should celebrate God's gift of the church. And then in brackets, it puts these words. It says, all baptized persons are children of promise, born after the Spirit, members of one family, the church, spoken of in the epistle as the mother of us all, and quotes Galatians 4, and I'm going to have a little look at that a bit later on. And I just thought, in light of, if you were here last week, if you're a regular and you heard David's talk on being of one mind, of one spirit, I just thought this was really fitting that Mother's Day follows this, and that you've got these words there to encourage us as God's people. So we'll look at that. And then the second part, the second instruction, was to make a visit or a letter or gift to parents in token of love and reverence. Flowers worn in honor of mother, and if she has passed away, placed on her grave. Yours faithfully, C. Penswick Smith. So I just thought that was really interesting, really good encouragement to think about, where does Mother's Day come from? And I think it's really good that we still see it in society today. I think it's a good thing to honor our parents, to honor the family. And so it is a big thing, isn't it, that this one lady managed to encourage the society around her during a particularly challenging time of grief and suffering for the nation, that it would be a good thing to honour the family and to thank God for it as a means of helping people cope with what they were going through. This was just after the First World War. It was a tough time. And so most people in Britain would have gone to church fairly regularly at this stage, and they wouldn't have been offended by this being rooted in what the Bible teaches us, which is what we're going to look at shortly. But today, I think things have changed a bit. I think that really people have narrowed this day down to just an opportunity to maybe go and give your mum a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers. But actually, there's no consideration given to the significance or importance of family in society. I think we've lost that. I think it's something that is being lost as we continue sort of decade after decade. And so it's good that Mother's Day is still celebrated, and I think that's also a credit to the role of mothers in society. I think so many of you mothers do such an excellent role at keeping families together, at building people up, at encouraging. And it is something that we should celebrate. But I also think that we miss something when we don't see that the reason we should honour our parents is rooted in God's design and purpose for civilization. And so there's something special, isn't there, in the church that we can look at God and think, yeah, no, this is something that God has instituted. It's a good thing, and we should celebrate that. So number two, why should we celebrate it in the church? Well, I think there's lots of reasons for that. But most explicitly, the first thing we see in the Bible is, Exodus 20, when God is giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, and we have commandment number five. So you have the first four is all about love the Lord your God, honor God, you know, it's keep the Sabbath holy. And it's about honoring God. And then commandment number five, the first thing that isn't sort of about honoring God, is to say this: honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So not only do the people of Israel get the commandment to honor their parents, but it also comes with a promise that if they do this, it will enable them to live long in the land that God has promised them. There is some wisdom in this, that as we honor parents, as we honor the family, there is something of God in this that is actually a blessing to us and to society. Now, I think we struggle with this idea in the West, to honor our parents. Now, has anyone ever watched Peppa Pig? Or maybe you've watched The Simpsons, and you see how the children treat, particularly the father, but I think a little bit of the whole family unit as well. And so if you've watched these episodes, the dad is just a kind of bumbling idiot, isn't he? And there is no sense of respect. There's no sense of honoring within that. And I think actually that those cartoons are a reflection of kind of how the society is. I don't think they've caused the society to be like that. I think the society's like that. And so they're it's a kind of caricature, isn't it, that you've got these kinds of relationships going on. And so we struggle a little bit with the idea of honoring those that are older than us. And you say to people, actually, we should honor our parents. We should honor the generations that have gone before us, because there is great wisdom there. That the older people would have things to teach us that are younger. And I think one of the reasons this gets perpetuated nowadays is because of things like technology. And so because our world is built around technology, and so we tend to kind of honor the young because they're the ones who know how to get things done. But actually, I think we're losing something again in our society, that in the church we want to uphold and we want to celebrate and we want to share and honor. That there are people older than us with wisdom to bring us. And you see things like YouTube, don't you? And it's like, when do the older people get honored? It's because the granddad's on a skateboard or he's doing pull-ups in a bar. They're the videos that everybody likes. So it's when the old people act like young people. But actually, what about the older generation that are acting their age? What about the wisdom that people have to share? And I think we live in a society in the West where this just gets lost. And I think it's sad, and I think it's detrimental to us. And I think we no longer honour tradition. And not always tradition should be honoured, but I think there are some traditions that are good, and we kind of chuck it all out as being irrelevant to our lives now. And so there is something, isn't there, that is good about this, that we see in other cultures. And so if you look at other cultures in the world, actually the family, there's much more respect for that. You would have grandparents living with parents and children, and you would have sort of generations of families together, and there would be a real honouring of the older generations there. And I think that is a godly thing to do. I think that we need to reestablish that. We need to understand that, especially as God's church, and honour those that have gone before us. And so I think the other thing we do is we try to shut ageing out of our minds. I think there is a pursuit, isn't there, in society to stay young. And so I think we tend to kind of, you know, especially in the West, again, we have places we can put the older generation and kind of we'll put you in a home over there and we'll come and visit, but let's keep you out of the way a little bit. And so I think there is a problem that comes when a society fails to respect and care for its older generation, to learn the wisdom that can come from the older generation that have been through things before. And actually, it's a great danger that we can fall into pride. We can become so progressive that we forget what's gone on before. And pride always comes before a fall. And so in 1 Timothy 5, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he writes this. And it says this, it's a little smaller there, but I'll read it to you. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. And then he says this, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. These are like really strong words from Paul to honour our family, to maintain the relationships, to look after those that God has built us into. God teaches us through the words of the Apostle Paul that he really does want us to honour our relatives. In fact, one of the worst things you can do is not to look after your family well, and this would include our parents. And I know there are challenges in that, and I know that there are broken relationships and things like that. I think one of the hardest things some people find to do is to actually forgive their parents. And I know that can be tough, and I know I've experienced that myself, that sometimes we can see, you know, because our parents, they're not perfect, they make mistakes, and maybe some have made some really, really huge mistakes and done some really bad things, but there's something when we become a Christian about learning how God has forgiven us that he starts to enable us to forgive others, maybe perhaps some that were closest to us that should have protected us the most and didn't. And there is a releasing, I think, that comes in forgiving our parents and for saying, do you know what, God, I want to forgive them for that. And so maybe for some of us today, that is something that you really need to press into God for. That doesn't mean saying what they did was right. It doesn't mean that you're kind of saying that there was no effect to those things. But actually, there is something that is quite releasing. We can sometimes be constrained by a lack of forgiveness towards our parents and have a sense of blaming them for how we are and hanging on to that so tightly that actually it cripples us. And so maybe this morning I just feel, just in this moment really, that the Spirit would just want to enable some of us to do that. Just to say, you know what, God, what they did was wrong. But because Jesus has forgiven me, then you will enable me to forgive them and be released from that. And then you hand them to God, and God will deal with whatever they have done in the same way he deals with whatever we have done. And so perhaps that's something you can respond to. Like, I'd love to pray with people if that's something that's been particularly hard for you. I know David would as well, and John and Sam and others, so do come and get prayer for that, and it can be a challenging thing. We do things like Freedom in Christ in the church as well, and they're great things to work through some of these long-term issues. But I just want to encourage us this morning that that's one thing we can do. There is an honouring in that as well, of saying, like, I acknowledge that they weren't perfect. And likewise, when we become parents, I suddenly see myself doing things that I probably would have judged my own parents for doing to me, because we mess up. There's stresses and strains that we don't always understand. And so for us as a church to celebrate Mother's Day and to show proper honours to parents is a good and godly thing for us to do. I also think that in the church it goes beyond just our blood relatives, as we've heard over the past couple of weeks in our foundation series. The church is the people of God. We're a whole family. We're called to honour one another, to give preference to one other, others over ourselves. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is being part of this family. I love it. I love being part of the church. I love you guys, that we can do life together. And actually, I have closer relationships with people in the church than I do with my own family sometimes. And so it's a wonderful thing to have. My own mother is here as well, as I say these things. And so, you know, family and church family can be really close things. When Jesus saved us, it meant that we became children of God. And we read in that advert earlier these words. It says, all baptized persons are children of promise, born after the Spirit, members of one family, the church. This is spoken of in the epistle as the mother of us all, Galatians chapter 4. And so I thought it'd be good just to have a look at Galatians chapter 4. Put those words there. And I'll read it and I'll explain a bit, because it might sound a little bit confusing to start with, but I think there's something we can really take out of this that shows how the church actually plays a role in a kind of mothering way to us as Christians. And so so Paul's writing this to the church in Galatians, and he's talking about Hagar and Sarah. Now, if you know your kind of Old Testament, you'll know a guy called Abraham, and he had a wife called Sarah, and they were both quite old, but God had promised a child to them. But Sarah says, well, I'm too old, I'm barren, I can't have children, so perhaps what you need to do is go and sleep with my servant girl. And he obviously thought, well, that's a great idea if you're suggesting it. And so he did that. And so rather than honouring the fact that God had promised to give him a child, he took it into his own hands. And so he went and did that, and of course had a child called Ishmael. But that wasn't the child that God had promised them. And so there's this sense that Paul is making this comparison here about faith and then about works. And so let me read this to you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of the divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. In other words, he's using it now as an allegory, as an example. And it says the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai, so that's the law, if you like, that was given to Moses, that the people of Israel lived under the rules, if you like. They were slaves to that. And it says, and it bears children who are to be slaves. So in other words, when we try and fulfill the law, when we try and live by good deeds, by works, actually we are slaves to that. And then it says, this is Hagar. So it's talking about that's the slave. And now Hagar stands from Mount Sinai and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. Then in verse 26 it says, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. It's just really interesting terminology for that. And so he's talking about the church in a sense. He's talking about the Jerusalem in heaven, when God's people will finally be set free. And it says, for it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Break forth and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman. So that was Sarah, then of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. So that's us, that's the church, we're the children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now, but what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So you're probably sitting there thinking, what on earth is that all about? What Paul is saying to the Galatian church is that all of us within the church are children of promise. That we're saved by faith, not by works, not by what we do. We were a slave to sin. We were a slave to works, trying to earn our salvation. And you see that all around us. But actually, when we put our faith in Jesus, we're saved by grace. We become children of the promise of God, that he would save a people himself. And it says this, that we have God as our Father. And so we introduced to God the Father by Jesus. And he says, God is your Father. Then it talks about the Jerusalem above that is our mother. And it says in verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. So to be part of God's church is to be saved by grace, not by works or human effort. But the one thing that every Christian has in common is that none of us earned our salvation. In fact, we were slaves to sin, but then God set us free through the promise of Jesus, through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, and gave us a new life. So actually, as part of God's church, Mother's Day is a celebration for all of us. That's where I'm going with this, is that there is a sense in which being part of the church, there's like the church itself almost plays like a mothering role into our lives. I think that's where Paul's going with this. And so we can actually celebrate this day as a church. And I thought about some of the things that we see within the church that kind of reflect a mother-like thing. So we've got God, our Father, and then the church presents these wonderful truths to us. That first we find that we actually get spiritual mothers and fathers within the church, some of whom might be closer to us than our own parents. I know I found that myself. I'm saying this in front of my own mother, but I found when I became a Christian, I was living away from home. I was in London, and I just remember this really godly woman just getting alongside me, and she encouraged me, and she prayed with me, and she helped me through some early things. And it was like God had given me another mother, and it was a wonderful gift from the church. The church is there to teach us and nourish us and help us to mature. It provides us with siblings. We get brothers and sisters in Christ. It provides a place of teaching and wisdom and protection from the things that would harm us. It gives us spiritual sons and daughters as we mature. We see other people become Christians and we disciple them. And you take on the role of mother or father to others within the church. Church also provides for our physical and financial needs in times of hardship and difficulty. And best of all, the church unites us to Christ as his bride and enables us to know our Heavenly Father. So this is why I think we can all celebrate Mother's Day together. We can celebrate it because it's a celebration of God's family and the joy and the hope that we have together in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I think the church is just such a wonderful gift that we can celebrate it on Mother's Day. We can say, God, we want to thank you for mothers. We want to honor mothers. But we also want to thank you for your church. We want to thank you for the wonderful institution of a family, a physical one and also a spiritual one. And so this just leads me to a last point. I just thought it would be good to look at Jesus and see how he honored his mother. And so I said, how does Jesus make this a day of celebration for all of us? Well, I've sort of talked about that. But it says in John 19... And funny enough, I think Becky quoted the passage just before this when she was talking about the clothing and that. But verse 25 in John 19, it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. So Jesus is being crucified. He's on the cross at this moment. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, that was John, standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. I just think it's a wonderful picture. You've got Jesus on the cross, and what's he thinking about? He's honoring his mother in this moment. He's not thinking about himself. He's doing the very thing that God had commanded. That he's saying, you know, God has given you a family. God has given you the church to look after you when I'm gone. And he sort of hands his mother over to John, his wonderful disciple. And he says this right before he died in the end. So he honors her publicly just before he's crucified. He also gives his disciple to John to her as a son. And so he gained a mother and she gained a son. And I think this example alone shows us why the church should celebrate family as one of the most important values and gifts from God. And we should really hold it in high regard. See, Jesus didn't die to save individuals. He died to save a people that would continue to do his work after he was gone. And that work was to go to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, to tell the world about the goodness of God, to encourage people into God's family, and to see the Holy Spirit bring new life to people as he draws them in. And that family is the church. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing to be part of. It's a great thing to give your life to. It's a wonderful thing that God himself in Jesus died for. And so today, if you're not yet a Christian, maybe you're not part of God's family. Well, he's inviting you to come in and to discover the joy and the hope and the freedom that only Jesus can offer you. When you put your faith in him, he sets you free from sin. So as we celebrate Mother's Day and also give thanks for new babies and new life, my appeal to you this morning is to come as you are as a new baby into God's family. You cannot earn this. You can only accept this as a free gift of God's grace to you today through the person and work of Jesus. So I wonder if we could get the band back up. I'd love us to just respond in faith. I'd love us to give thanks to God for his church. Let's give thanks to God for mothers and for sons and daughters. And perhaps you do want to become a Christian today. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, do you know what? I've always wondered what it was all about. And there is a way that you can do that. And you can give your life to Jesus. You can say sorry for the things you've done. And you can ask Jesus' forgiveness, which is what he died for on the cross. So can I ask you to stand and we'll finish with a time of worship. But let me just take a moment. Let's just bow our heads and let's just open ourselves to God's Spirit. Maybe you want to become a Christian today. If you want to do that, you can pray this prayer with me. And maybe if you're already a Christian, just think through these words and remember the day you gave your life to Jesus. You can say this: Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the wrong things that I have done in my life. I ask today for your forgiveness and your free gift of grace. I thank you that although you never sinned against God, that you willingly went to the cross in my place so that I could be forgiven. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, to give me your Holy Spirit, and to make me a part of your church family today. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, that's how Jesus makes Mother's Day a day of celebration for us all in his church, because he brought us into his family when we accepted the free gift of salvation. Let's continue to worship God now. Let's thank him for Jesus. Let's thank him for his church. Let's thank him for our mothers, or the gift of motherhood. Let's give him honor and praise. And if you prayed that prayer just now, I would love to just chat with you afterwards. Do come and find myself or David, and we'll just talk about what you can do next to take steps in that journey. But it's a wonderful thing to be part of God's family. So let's just give him honor and praise, and then we'll have some tea, coffee, and cakes. And yeah, thank you, Lord.